This show is brought to you by Kiwi. We make science, technology, engineering, art, and math accessible, engaging, and fun. KiwiCo.com. Well, hello, everybody. This is Hal.
And this is Melanie.
And we want to welcome you to another episode of Making Biblical Family Life Practical.
We need to talk about something really practical today, Hal.
Uh-huh.
And that is, you know, the other day we talked about what to do when fear is ruling your choices.
Right.
And mm-hmm. when you're operating out of fear as a parent instead of out of faith and trust.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, for many of us, it's anger.
Well, I think it's pretty normal. I mean, we do get angry. I mean, it's not an unusual thing for people. I mean, we get under stress. I mean, parents have moments of frustration, and yeah, I mean, I think a lot of us would have to say, yeah, I kind of sometimes I lose my temper. I mean, so
well, you know, I think the hormones of the preteen years are specifically to make me more Christ-like.
Oh, how's that?
Because it drives me wild, Hal.
Oh, that's one of those, Lord, make me patient, but not quite yet kind
of
things?
Oh, my word. Oh. Yeah, this morning, mm-hmm. one of our preteens, just something didn't go this child's way, and this child had sobbing hysterics.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
I thought I would lose my mind. I was really busy, had a bunch to do. I thought I'd go crazy. And I could feel that anger welling up inside me.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to yell, and I realized, you know what? Anger doesn't work.
Well, it doesn't, and the Bible tells us that. But, you know, I think there's a temperamental thing, you know, that some families are very, let's say it politely, they're very expressive.
Oh, if I they wouldn't are know anything about that
if
now.
If they are unhappy or displeased, they communicate that in a very marked, forceful manner. And other families,
or if they're happy and full of joy, they communicate that very freely too.
You know, I was thinking about this topic today, and I was thinking, you know, see, me, I'm more of the kind that swallows a lot of stuff and bottles it up, because when I was a teenager and I was thinking about how I wanted to be as a grown up, you know who my hero was? Do you know who?
No.
Mr. Spock. I love Mr. Spock because he didn't get upset. He didn't get upset or work. But, you know, I couldn't appreciate.
Okay, but see, you know who my hero was?
Who?
Captain Kirk.
Well, the problem with Mr. Spock is he doesn't lose his temper, but you know what? He doesn't have transports of joy either.
Right.
You know, and that's one of those things. You have to just kind of, you know, figure this whole balance out. But so whether you are of the slow burn or the explosive variety, if you find yourself being angry, let's talk about that a little bit. You know, the Bible does talk about anger.
It does. And what it says is kind of alarming, Hal,
mm-hmm.
because it really points out right where the pinch is.
Well, you know, we're all about practical application here. One of the most practical books in the New Testament is the letter from the Apostle James. And what does he say about this?
He says, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you?
Oh, what? Tell us.
Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you?
Mm-hmm.
You desire and do not have, so you murder.
Ooh.
You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel.
Mm-hmm.
You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions.
Ooh, okay. That,
ouch.
Yeah, that's pretty real.
Well, and, you know, I think when we see that, and we think about being angry as a parent, we think, oh, no, that is not about that. But yeah, it is. Because I was upset because this child was impinging on my trying to concentrate.
How can you distract me this way? Why are you frustrating me?
I wanted peace and quiet.
Yes.
I wanted and I could not obtain.
No, it wasn't coming your way, was it?
There wasn't any peace and quiet. And, you know, sometimes we get angry righteously. You know, I struggled with anger tonight.
Okay.
Because two of my children were being ugly to each other.
Okay. And you know what? God is angry with the wicked.
Yeah.
God is angry at our sin. And so I think it's probably right for us to be in some sort, in some measure at least, to be displeased with the things that displease our God.
Yes.
And so I think that's probably a permissible thing. And sometimes we're angry on behalf of other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are angry because of persecution or genocide or injustice or whatever, you know, that we can have a righteous anger about that.
Or sometimes we're angry because we've been hurt and we've been offended and we feel defensive.
You know, oh, yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes we get angry out of misguided mercy, Hal.
Well, now, I remember, you know, we lived in a part of the country a while back that was very, very, very down on child discipline. You know, mm-hmm. They didn't want to cross their children at all. And what we saw so often was parents who would say, you know, I don't want to punish my child. I don't want to discipline my child. And they would put up with increasingly bad behavior until a parent lost it. And then they would lash out.
Get so angry. And you know, and I even find that sometimes in myself. I mean, this is really, let's put Melanie on the line today. When somehow in my head, and I used to have a much bigger problem with that mm-hmm. when I was younger than I do now, but I felt like, you know, oh, I shouldn't discipline that. I shouldn't punish that child.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to show him how angry I am. And that is so stupid.
Oh, okay. Well, now see, yeah, now I tried that.
It's so dumb.
Because we got to a point, now understand, God gave us 6 boys, okay? We had noise, we had physical activity and energy and destructive powers and all the rest of that. And so at some point, I felt like, you know, the bull elephant needs to trumpet to the herd here. I mean, I need to show them that the big dog is not happy. And I literally thought, okay, I need to express some anger so they will understand that. And you know what? It didn't work.
Well,
it was not effective at all.
Why do we even think it's going to be? Because when we look at what the Word of God says, Hal,
mm-hmm.
the Word of God tells us it's not going to work.
Yeah, it does. Okay, why don't you quote that? This is all one right. of our little theme verses here.
This is a life theme verse for me. It's one that I have struggled with.
I think so much of us.
Yeah. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. The way I learned it growing up.
Yeah.
Is the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God.
And so that should tell you right there that when we feel upwellings of anger, we need to be real careful because like as not, in most cases, it's not going to work. It's not going to be righteous. It's not going to be pleasing to God. It's going to be a total loss on all fronts.
Yeah, James 1:20.
Mm-hmm.
For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God.
Okay.
God tells us, our anger will not make things more righteous.
So we've got to, well, all right.
And so trying to motivate our kids by our anger is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's not a tool. It's not a tool that we should, you know, consider to use. But you know, anger is a real thing. So I think the question for us is, all right, when we have these feelings of anger welling up into us, what should we do about them? How should we respond?
We should work it out. You know, Ephesians 4:26 says, be angry and do not sin.
You know, that was one of the best verses for us as newlyweds. I mean, this sounds like we're, you know, cats and dogs all the time. We're not. But, you know, I know that when we were engaged, I think, or maybe even before then, we read that passage and thought, you know what? We need to make a point of that if we're angry, that we're not going to go to bed mad with each other.
Well, I didn't read the last half of the verse. Okay. Do not let the sun go down on your anger.
There you go.
You know, don't let anger fester. You need to work it out. Deal with it. You know, go to your brother or sister and, you know, try to make it right with them.
He says, be angry, but do not sin.
Yeah.
And do not give the devil an opportunity.
Yes.
You know, and that's a thing. I think that's a very important passage to keep in mind there.
Well, I think we as parents, mm-hmm. we've got to be careful about this because sometimes when we don't deal with misbehavior, we get angrier and angrier and angrier instead of dealing with the situation. This tells us we need to go ahead and deal with the situation.
Well, one thing that I try to keep in mind, and I really, because I expect it of other people, is that if somebody's angry with me, I want them to tell me early on where it's a little bit of anger, where it's just a mildly displeasured sort of status, rather than letting it fester for a while and then suddenly saying, you always do that. Why are you, you're driving me crazy. I said, whoa, I never knew. That's the first I've heard of it. That's not really fair to the other person, is it?
We can't do that. Now, here's another verse on anger we need to teach our kids.
Okay.
A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. That's Proverbs 25, 28.
That's good. So picture Israel. Picture the plains of Israel and a village out in the middle of an exposed plain. And if it's got walls around it, they can defend themselves. They can close their gates and go behind safety.
So if an army goes by, they can choose not to fight.
Exactly.
But if they've got no walls, they've got to fight. Anybody can get them into a fight.
Anybody is likely to. They're just going to overrun them.
Yeah, and that's why when we have no self-control, anything can cause us to sin, can cause us to get in a fight. So let's talk about what we do, because we don't want to run out of time. This is important stuff.
Well, sure. Okay. So let's talk. You know, one of the key things, and I think I saw this in Ken Sandy's book, The Peacemaker. One of the things that really he pointed out, I think, was that whenever we have a conflict, we make decisions about how we respond to that.
Yeah.
You know, that we have to say, okay, I am angry. Is it a righteous anger? Is this something that I need to work out right now, or do I need to control my own expectations?
Well, I think it's important to ask, why am I angry?
Yeah.
Because lots of times they'll tell me, I'm angry because somebody's on my nerves. It's bothering me. It's impinging on my convenience. I'm going to deal with that differently rather than I'm angry because this person is doing wrong. You know, we got to ask why I'm angry. And then we need to ask, what do I want to accomplish here? What do I want to happen?
That is a question a lot of people don't ask. And I see that. I see arguments around me, whether we're talking about children, whether we're talking about grownups. You think, why are you having this fight? What do you foresee as the outcome of the discussion you just started? You know, is this going to be resolved in any way, the way you've gone down this path? You know, because sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is there's nothing I can do to change this. The other person, the person's not going to respond to it, or they're not in a position to fix it. And so there's really no point in allowing yourself to get angry and start an argument over it.
Yes.
And so I think that's an important thing to say, you know, what should our goal be? If our goal is I win, you lose, booyah, put a notch in my belt, that is not right. But if our goal is, you know what? I want us to be in harmony with one another. I want us to be in peace and to live in love and show love as brethren. Then working through the displeasure, working through the anger is an important step to reestablishing that harmony.
So we need to ask, what if it is just about me? What if I'm in sin or I'm selfish? Then I need to deal with it. I need to repent.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes though, there are legitimate offenses that you need to go to the person and deal with it, or you have legitimate needs that you need to go appeal to somebody and say, hey, look, I need help here. But anger doesn't solve any of that.
No, it doesn't. And again, you know, along that same channel, recognizing that the other person on the other side of this disagreement is not a mind reader, honestly.
Yes.
I mean, we think about it, and I know a lot of times I see wives expecting their husbands to read their minds, and wives are normally more intuitive. But you know what? I see women doing the same thing.
Oh yeah.
The women, you know, I see men doing the same thing. Men getting the sulks, men pouting about stuff, men feeling like, hey, I'm being deprived of my rights, or nobody's serving my needs here, or whatever.
Whereas some communication might solve the whole issue.
Because it may be something the other person's not even aware of.
Yeah. Now, sometimes they're aware because we've offended somebody, and then it's our responsibility to make peace, to repent, to ask for forgiveness, you know, to try to restore the relationship. You know, I think it's important to use biblical language when we're asking for forgiveness. How?
Well, when you say I'm sorry, that can just mean I'm embarrassed and I wish you hadn't caught me. But when you say, will you forgive me? That's saying, I have broken our relationship and I cannot, it's out of my power to rebuild it. I need to ask you, are you willing to reach back across the break that I've caused and restore our fellowship from your side? Because I broke it so bad, I can't fix it. And that's how we approach God.
Oh yeah.
And that's how we've got to approach other people, with that same sort of humility.
Even if it's our kids, if we have sinned against our kids.
Oh, no, wait a minute. Apologize to kids?
Oh yeah.
Apologize to little kids?
Yes. I mean, you're the mama. You do this, Hal.
You're the mama. I know, but we got to explain this. So, I mean,
yeah,
you're mama. You're not supposed to apologize. Mama's always right, right?
No.
The dad is. Dad's always right.
No. We're sinners. No. We're sinners, and we do sin against our kids.
Yeah.
And then we have to genuinely show them repentance and ask for their forgiveness.
And well, that's number one, because it's right.
Yes, because it's right.
But number two, because they need to understand Christians should live lives of repentance and asking for forgiveness when necessary.
Well, you're modeling for them what they need to be doing.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a huge help. You know, they need to see that. They need to know that, you know, it's not just the child that has to ask for forgiveness and repent. It's everybody.
Well, it's just the same as the child that looks at the parents and say, I can't wait until I'm a grown up and I get to do everything that I want to do all the time.
No.
No, it's not really that way. Well, it's the same way. I can't wait to be the daddy so that I never have to say I'm sorry. No, actually, we should apologize frequently often because we often stumble over each other.
Okay, now we need to take a minute for a station break because we've got a sponsor this week
and
that you guys need to hear about.
Yes, and I wanted to talk about that because this is neat. You know, my training and background is in engineering, and I love stuff. I love gadgets. I love machinery. I love the project kind of things. And this sponsor has a neat concept. It's called Kiwi Crate. The Kiwi Crate people have come up with a program where they will send you a package. It's a subscription service. They send you a package with projects, with hands-on stuff that help your children to learn science and technology and engineering and math and even art. Okay? And put all these things in here and encourage your kids to use these concepts in a creative way so that they can learn them. You know, like, okay, look at a list of some of the projects they've sent out. Slime Lab. That sounds good. Okay, the Slime Lab, a physics carnival, paper circuits. Okay, electrical engineer asks, what is the paper circuit about? I'm just interested. Okay, do you know what? This was founded by a mom who is an engineer. Her name is Sandra O'Lynn, and she wants to raise kids who are confident to embrace these technical subjects. And you know what? She wants to share that with you. And so if you want to get some more information about this, go out to KiwiCo. So that's KiwiCo. KiwiCo.com/homeschool, and you can get your first month free.
Ooh.
Just pay $4.95 for the shipping. Okay.
Okay. So, now, what ages is this good for?
What ages is good for? Ages 2, all the way down to 2-year-olds to 16.
Okay. Cool.
So you can get all kinds of information. Go out to KiwiCo.com, and if you'd like to try them out, go to KiwiCo.com/homeschool. And get your first month free.
Cool.
Okay. So we thank you, all the people at Kiwi Crate. And let's talk about the project of our home.
Let's talk about, okay, so you're upset. You're angry at your kids.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a couple of different scenarios there. We just talked about, what if it's me?
Okay.
If really I'm just having a bad day and I'm taking out on my kids, then I need to repent.
Yeah.
Or if I've done wrong, I need to repent. But
okay.
Sometimes the problem is theirs.
Sometimes you're the innocent party.
Now, okay. There's two different scenarios there. Sometimes they're in sin. Sometimes it's just foolishness and irresponsibility.
Yeah.
So those need to be handled differently.
We need to recognize that because everything that displeases you is not an act of rebellion.
Yes.
I mean, it may just be.
Well, you know, some of the parenting books we read when our oldest children were young, really made it sound like every time the child didn't conform in some way to what you expected, that was sin and it needed to be dealt with harshly.
And that's simply just not the case.
I mean,
kids are immature and they are inexperienced. They do not have good judgment. And so they're going to do things that you say, what in the world were you thinking? You know, the answer is, I wasn't thinking at all, Daddy. You know, and how do you deal with that? Well, irresponsibility, you train. You teach them better habits. You teach them more judgment, I guess.
Consequences are good for irresponsibility.
Right.
You know, I saw a big one the other day. One of my friends, her son, her teenage son, lost his temper, kicked their van, and left a big dent in it.
Oh, horrors.
Now, he's about to get some consequences for his irresponsibility.
Wow. Okay.
He's going to have to go get estimates and earn the money to repair it. That's going to be painful, but that's going to be way more likely to learn to control himself because of those painful consequences.
Yeah.
And so with a little child,
mm-hmm.
they might break something little, but because they have a temper tantrum,
yeah, you know,
they might throw their glass down and break it or something.
Right.
Or they might, you know, cause the whole family to be late for a special event because they're angry.
Gee, when has that ever happened?
Yeah.
That, yeah. yeah. Okay. But.
But so you give consequences.
Right.
If they cause trouble for mom, maybe they take on one of mama's chores that day.
Sure.
Okay. You know, some kind of consequence, but you teach it, you discuss it. If it's just childishness and silliness, just redirect it.
That's a teaching opportunity that doesn't necessarily call for discipline in the sense of a, you know, punitive kind of thing.
Right. Yeah. Maybe they need more exercise. You know, sure. But ultimately, we got to get over our anger.
Mm-hmm.
Because our children's irresponsibility, our anger is not going to cure it. Instead, teaching and consequences and discussing it, and those things are going to be what cure it.
Okay. Well, but sometimes there is sin.
Sometimes
they have done something intentional. They have done something cruel or mean or discourteous. And it does need to be rebuked.
Yes.
And how you do that depends on the age and maturity of the child involved.
And, you know, this goes to all of our relationships.
Right.
You know, one of the things we've got to ask before we rebuke sin in somebody is, do I have standing? Now, if you're a parent, you've got standing in your children's lives.
Oh, gosh. You not only standing, but responsibility.
Yes.
But it is different if it's,
if you don't necessarily have standing in an acquaintance's life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was talking to some bloggers. One of my blogger friends had gotten some really hate mail.
Right.
And she was asking, what do about it? I said, you know, we've gotten that too. Yeah, I remember getting some hate mail from someone who just looked at a picture of our family and made all kinds of assumptions.
Yeah.
And wrote to rebuke sin that wasn't there.
You know, I saw something, actually, I just saw this today, and I thought this was pretty, pretty good. They said, we need to be careful not to judge somebody's decisions when we don't know the options they had.
Yes.
And that's a good thing to make you sit back and think a little bit. But,
the reason I brought up standing when we're talking mainly about parenting is that there's a really important component of this with our preteens and our teens, and that's relationship, because they are not going to, although we've got to rebuke sin in their lives,
right?
They're going to be much more open to our rebuke if we have a healthy relationship with them.
If we're not already in a state of low-level conflict all the time with them.
Right.
And that's something which we really need to be working on. And part of that is dealing with issues when they're small, when it's not embarrassing, when you're not invested and have, you know, drawn your battle lines already. But to say, hey, this is a behavior that we can't accept, or this is something we need to talk about and, you know, change here. Do it early.
You know, one thing I've realized is that, you know, we're commanded to speak the truth in love. And I found that my anger is a barrier to that. That when I let myself get angry over our children's sin, that I am far more likely to be harsh or ugly in the way that I deal with them. And then they tend to get defensive and angry back.
Right.
Whereas if I speak the truth in love, if I instead realize, oh my word, my children are in rebellion against God.
Right.
Then I can go to them with concern and love, and they're way more likely to listen.
Okay. Yeah. So that's a really important thing, and that is part of that component of your parenting changing as your child grows and matures. That you have to build a new relationship as they enter those teenage years. You're building a different kind of relationship than you had when they were 5 or 6 years old.
We were talking about this in one of my groups on Facebook the other day, Hal.
Yeah.
And we were talking about discipline, and people were talking about the discipline that they had growing up.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, there's a big difference between a parent who issues discipline calmly, without anger, biblically and judiciously, and one who does it in a fury.
Yeah.
And one of my friends chimed in and she said, yes. She said, that's so true, because I look at the way my husband disciplines our children in a very godly way versus the way my parents discipline me, I still have bitterness and anger towards, she said.
Yeah. And you know, the model that I've remembered trying to, you know, guide myself on this is a judicial aspect. You know, yes. To think about, you know, you don't expect the judge on the bench to lose his temper and shout and stomp,
have a temper
throw,
tantrum.
Throw
he
things.
He doesn't have to.
Because he's the judge. He's the authority. He's the one who makes the decision about the punishment or correction or repayment that's necessary. And that's where we are as the parents. We are the judge in our home that God's, you know, appointed us to this role. It's not because we earned it or anything, but just God's placed us in that position. And so we can take a breath and collect our thoughts and say, look, we have got to deal with this in a biblical fashion. And it's not a matter of I can be more angry than you are.
Yes.
But rather to say, no, we're going to submit this to the law of God. And frankly, I see that you are in violation of the law of God, and we have to deal with this to help you remember not to transgress it.
Well, one thing that you have said over the years that has really helped me to get control, Hal, is to just stop and ask, what's the goal? What am I aiming for? What do I want to come out of this? Do I want to win the argument? Or do I want to come to some kind of agreement? Or do I want the other person to change their behavior? Or do I want them to have a change of heart?
I think those last two in particular.
And particularly the change of heart, because if the heart changes, the behavior will change.
True.
Yeah, they can fake behavior, but if the heart change, and when you approach your kids thinking, I want a change of heart, how that just changes my whole perspective.
Well, one of those fantastic books that was been so influential for us was Ted Tripp's book, Shepherding a Child's Heart.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just a matter of training their behavior, because you can have very well-behaved little pagans who have terrible hearts, but rather to say, I want a child who has a heart to do right, to love God, to love people, to serve, rather than just to behave politely and get pats on the head.
Now, Hal, we're almost out of time, and I think it's really important that we quickly deal with some strategies to help you deal with anger as a parent.
All right. So,
be aware you got a problem.
Yeah.
You know, for me, when I feel that rage welling up, that needs to send up a flag that I need to stop. I need to just back down and think about what's going on.
And I think, too, we need to be aware that sometimes we're in a situation where we are more likely to lose our temper.
Yes.
When we're under stress, when we're under time pressure, when the children have been sick and whiny or something, we need to recognize, hey, it's going to be easy for me to lose it here.
Yes.
I need to be extra patient. That's a good way to prevent it and head it off.
Take two. Take a couple of seconds before you say anything, before you react. Stop. Take a few breaths. And think, do I know the whole situation? Can I respond in a godly way? Do I need to keep my mouth shut? Just take a couple of minutes and consider what you're doing.
You know, it's amazing how it clears your head if you literally stop and take a deep breath. Somehow that helps calm me down.
I really wish that I had done that a couple of weeks ago. I lost a temper with a friend.
Mm.
And I wish I had stopped and thought before I had opened my mouth, you know?
Oops. Okay. And you know what? We need to try to step to disengage ourselves a little bit from the conflict right there, to step back and say, now what's going on here? Is there a bigger picture that I need to be aware of?
To think a little bit less about the effect on me and think about the relationship of that other person and God.
Yeah.
You know, get out of the frame.
Right.
And for me, I just have to constantly remind myself. Anger doesn't work. The wrath of man works not the righteousness of God.
And what is the first part of that verse says? Brethren, said, let every person be quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger. You know, and that's the thing. If we listen first and really pay attention, and that means, I'm preaching to myself here, that means take your eyes off the screen, put your finger in your book, whatever it is, and look that other person in the face. And make sure that you've engaged your mind to try to connect with them, to say, what are they saying? What are they doing? You know, is my reaction even righteous? You know, did I even understand them properly? Or was I just about to zing them back?
For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. That's James 1:19-20. It's a great memory verse for your whole family.
Good thing to put on your bathroom mirror.
You know, I think we need to be thinking a whole lot less about what's convenient for us and how we don't want stress, and a lot more about our kids' relationship with us and our kids' relationship with God.
Because you know what? Right now, in this time of life, when you've got the kids at home still, you are in the process of discipling them, and that is your life. I mean, it tells us that in Deuteronomy, that this is our life. It's not a distraction. It's not a pause for what we want to do, but rather this is what we're here for. Mm-hmm. And, you know, too often we look at our family and we think, they are interrupting me in my plans and desires and the things I want to pursue, rather than saying, my family is what I'm pursuing.
This is the whole point.
This is why I'm here. This is why we are together in this home.
Well, the Deuteronomy says, this is your very life.
Yeah, and that's an important thing to remember. And yeah, there's room for recreation and for leisure activities and personal, you know, entertainment, all the rest of that. But that's not our focus in life. That's not our main goal in life.
Well, you know, as we've said many times before, there's solid research that shows that the number one predictor of whether a kid raised in a Christian home will be a Christian's adult is, do they have a good relationship with a Christian mom and dad? Now, mom and dads, we can't save our kids.
No.
But God is so often pleased to use that good relationship with your kids to bring your kids to Jesus Christ. And you know what? I want to be available for that, Hal.
It really is. I mean, we cannot save our children, but we surely do not want to be a stumbling block to them.
No, we don't.
We don't want to be an obstacle that they had to get over. We don't want to meet them at the throne of God one day and they say, well, mom and dad, I know you tried, but you know what? It took me several years of therapy to get over the experience of being your child, and then I found the Lord.
No,
I don't want to hear that kind of thing.
I don't either.
Okay.
Instead, let's stop. Let's take a deep breath. Let's get on our knees in prayer. If we need to leave the room, you know, if you need to get out of the situation for a minute, do.
Yeah.
You know, go and get alone with God and pray until you calm down. And because the stakes are incredibly high. And the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God.
Okay.
That's enough. That ends it.
Well, and I suppose that should end us then, right?
All right.
So let's kind of wrap things up here. Look, we do appreciate you spending some time with us.
Yes.
Know? And
please go out to kiwico.com/homeschool and support our sponsor. Thank you, Kiwi Crate.
Uh-huh.
And also, we would love for you to do some Christmas shopping at our shop.
Come out to raisingrealmen.com and just go to the shop. And if you're looking at it on your phone, you just look up there, scroll up there at the top. And man, we have got so many good things out there.
You would not believe the richness of things we have out there. And they're things, a lot of them are things you can't get anywhere else because we created them.
And you know what? You found out that making biblical family life practical can be a whole lot more fun than you might have thought.
Yeah. Like, wait till your kids see our chainmail kits. All right, guys.
Yeah.
Go out there, check it out. One of my friends was looking at it, and her daughter walked by, and she said, Mom, what site is that? It looks really cool.
Of course it is. That's what we do. So that's our goal.
Check it out, guys. RaisingRealMen.com/shop. And may the Lord give you grace and peace and self-control.
All of those good things.
As you try to get rid of the anger, because it sure doesn't work.
Okay, folks, thanks so much for listening. Until next time, I'm Hal.
And I'm Melanie.
We'll talk to you later.
Bye, y'all.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HalandMelanie.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook/HalandMelanie or Facebook.com/RaisingRealMen. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.